Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Zechariah. Though written more than 500 years before Jesus, this powerful little book has much to say about today's headlines, as well as deep insight into the Lord's work and ministry in the lives of believers right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he, this is important, this is a pronoun. It refers back to the last noun. Who is the last noun? The prince who is to come. The Antichrist shall confirm, more specifically, enforce, a covenant with the many, that is Israel. See Isaiah 28, verse 15, and we just read it for you earlier. The leaders of Israel is going to make a covenant with who? Death. And a contract with whom? Hell. All prophesied. And the Antichrist, he shall enforce a covenant with the many, Israel, for guess how long? Do you see? 70 weeks total. He gave us what was going to happen. It was going to have a beginning when this decree to rebuild Jerusalem happens. We know that. That's a date in history. It will end when Messiah is rejected. When was Jesus rejected? On Palm Sunday. They call it the triumphal entry, but it was anything but. By the way, what day is that in the Jewish calendar? And that day in 32 AD, that was a Sunday. And that Sunday was the 10th of Nisan. In Exodus chapter 12, what did you do as a Jewish person on the 10th of Nisan? You selected your what? Passover lamb. Jesus is standing on the Mount of Olives 483 years, or if you will, 173,880 days to the day. By the way, what's he sitting on? A donkey. Just like Zechariah prophesied. It was as if he had a great big banner. I am the long prophesied Messiah! And at first they were pretty excited about that. Singing the Hallel. In fact, the Jewish leader said, Teacher, stop your disciples, rebuke them. Why? We're not Jewish. We tend to miss the significance of the moment. The Jewish religious people knew they were claiming who was this man sitting on a donkey. Not just a good teacher, not just a great philosopher, but whom? The Messiah prophesied 300 different ways in the Old Testament. They were saying, hey, they're calling you Messiah, stop them. Jesus said, well, I could, but then the rocks would cry out. Man, that would have been one of the times I wish I was there. I wouldn't have done it, but I'd thought about it. Hey, quiet. Let's hear what the rocks say. Did you know that in the millennium, the Bible says that the trees will clap their hands and that the mountains will sing with rejoicing? Well, what do you mean? I don't know exactly. But I know that our ears and eyes are only instruments that can sort of pick up and perceive certain frequencies. In the millennium, when God fixes planet Earth and gives us brand new bodies that are designed for eternity, I wonder if our ears and eyes or whatever antenna God gives us are now so finely tuned that they can hear the energetic emanations of all of God's creation. What are you talking about? Did you know that nothing is really solid? What is it? It's really energy, isn't it? And all energy behaves in a certain mannerism, mostly in the form of waves, frequency, and energy. Your eyes and ears and taste buds and senses can only perceive of a narrow band of the energy that's fairly crackling all around us. What if in the millennium you can taste color? I'm way far afield. Come back to us here. I'm caught up with heaven. Even the rocks would cry out. I believe that they're already crying. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, did you know that the creation also felt the pinch of the fall of Adam? And that the Bible says that the creation groans to be restored. We just can't hear it. 69 weeks have already transpired, 70 total. How many weeks left, everybody? 1 week, the 70th week of Daniel, is what the book of Revelation is all about. I hit the go button. In between the 69th and the 70th week is a great parenthesis that we refer to as the church age. Turns out that the church age is actually also for a specified period of time. Get our teaching on Ezekiel chapter 4 and the prophecy of the 430 days. The next event on the prophetic clock is this. Go ahead. Is the rapture. The Bible says when the church is done, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, the Bible says that God calls his church out of the world. He then returns, does God. We looked at that last week. He returns his prophetic attention where? The people of God, halfway through, he breaks his covenant. As the carrot to Middle East peace, what he does to enforce this treaty is he says, you get to rebuild your temple. And when they have their temple, they continue their sacrifices for the first time since 70 AD when the Romans destroy the city. Do the Jews have the land of Israel now? What's the answer? Yes, 1948, another prophecy. In one day, says the book of Isaiah. In 1967, they get Jerusalem back. Was that a prophetic time? Absolutely. Even though they have Jerusalem back, do they have a temple currently on the Temple Mount? What's the answer? They don't. Do they want one? More than you know. Because of international pressure coming to bear on the Jews, you cannot have your temple on that 39 acres called the Temple Mount. Primarily because sitting right, perhaps more or less in the middle, is the Mosque of Omar. It's not really a mosque. It really is the Dome of the Rock. It's a shrine. More on that in just a moment. So right now the political complexities are such, the Jews desperately want a temple and sacrifices, but the politics won't allow it. The Bible says there's coming a day when a man steps up and pulls it off. And he makes a covenant with them. Guess for how long? 70 years or 1 week. Then the Bible says in Daniel, we just read, halfway in, he breaks his promise. He then goes into the Holy of Holies and puts a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies. And then he makes everybody worship who? Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar makes his big statue of gold? And then when the band plays, everybody was supposed to fall down and worship him. That was a dress rehearsal. What is this eye darkened and arm withered? Write Revelation 13, verse 3 and 4. The book of Revelation, as you would imagine, speaks much about the Antichrist. Here's another physical description. I'll read it to you. Revelation 13 says, John says, and I saw one of his heads, this beast, as if it had been mortally wounded. His deadly wound was healed, inference, miraculously. And all of the world marveled and followed the beast, so they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, which is to say they worshipped the devil who gave authority to this human, the Antichrist. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like this beast and who is able to make war with him? This last 7 year period, the Bible is very clear about. It talks about the first half, and it describes it as 1260 days or 3.5 years. It's very clear, is the book of Revelation, about the last half. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 24 says, when you see the abomination of desolation talked about by Daniel, in other words, when the Antichrist changes his mind, He kicks out the Jews and makes himself out to be God in the temple. When you see that, get out of town. It's that last half that the Bible talks about very specifically. It talks about it as times, time, and a half a time. How would we say that? 3.5 years. It talks about it as 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. It talks about it as 1,260 days. In other words, the Bible says, when the Antichrist makes himself known, Israel will go, oops. And they will basically say, we made a mistake. But now the whole world knows he's the Antichrist. And for now, 1,260 days, you can count it until Jesus returns to the earth in Revelation 19. Here's what I want to draw your attention to. If you take a typical 7-year period in the Jewish calendar, they operate on a 360-day calendar. Did you know that all the ancient calendars did? Until about 701 BC, something happened. One of these days, I'm going to tell you about it, but not today. After 701 BC, everybody had to scramble and get new calendars. And in our Western tradition, the Julian calendar came close, 365 days. And then the Gregorian calendar, a couple hundred years after that, really hit it almost spot on, 365 and a quarter days. The time it takes the sun to move around the earth. The Bible says, the Jewish people, I don't want you to reckon your time that way. I want you to reckon your time as the moon in cycles around the earth. That's why in the Jewish calendar, there is 29 days in one month and 30 days in the next month, and then 29, 30, 29, 30. Now, at 360 days, is their calendar going to fall a little short? So what they've done is they have another month called Adar 2 that they'll put in about every 3 or 4 years, an extra 30 days. Now, follow me closely, especially you Bible students. Any 7-year period in the Jewish calendar can't be exactly 1260 and 1260. Because depending on what 7-year period you're looking at, you're going to have either one or sometimes two Adar 2s injected. There is a 30-day period that I believe Daniel chapter 12 talks about. What are you getting at? If the rapture, and it is the next great prophetic signpost, happens, and if it still keeps the pattern of the 7 festivals, Jesus was crucified on Passover. He was the sinless one, the unleavened bread. He rose on what day, everybody? 3 days later, or the Feast of the First Fruits. When was the church born 50 days later on the Feast of Pentecost? What's the next feast Israel is supposed to observe? Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. If this 70th week of Daniel does happen to begin on Rosh Hashanah, 1260 days of the two witnesses always falls with a 30-day interim in the middle, with 1260 days in the last part. This middle 30 days always falls on Passover and first fruits. What are you talking about? If the 70th week of Daniel begins on Rosh Hashanah, 3.5 years in, right in the midst, is going to be Passover. Is the Antichrist assassinated somewhere near the Passover? And a few days later, what if he miraculously resurrects on the first fruits? I don't know. I'm just saying, then is it possible that the Antichrist, the devil, will he stage a pseudo-resurrection, but not of the Messiah, but of the false shepherd, the idol shepherd? Food for thought. Tuck that away. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to end here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Roman persecution of the church really started taking off here in Thessalonica. And some of the first attacks of the lion's dens and some of the crucifixions against Christians by the Roman state began to happen here in Thessalonica, causing many of the church people to say, are we in the great tribulation? Paul, praise God, is going to clear it up for them and us. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, there's your rapture, we ask you, please not too soon be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit, what that means is false prophecy, by word, or the false teaching, or by letter, as if from us. Somebody had sent them a letter, you old Thessalonian church, you missed the rapture. And that freaked him out. Did we, Paul? He writes 2 Thessalonians. As though the day of Christ had come. What's the day of Christ, the day of the Lord? Collectively speaking, that's the great tribulation. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you. Oh, please listen, Harvest. Let no one deceive you by any means for that day. What day? The coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. A lot of crazy, wacky books have been written on this one. This is the Greek word that is apostasia. And does it mean a falling away from the truth of the real gospel? Answer, yes. Does it mean a falling away or taking away of Christians from the earth in the form of the rapture? I believe both. Yes, it does. And the man of sin is revealed. There's one of his titles. Who is that, everybody? That is the Antichrist. Is revealed the son of perdition. Verse 4. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. The first 3.5 years, he doesn't really bring himself off as such, but somewhere in the midst, potentially after an assassination attempt, perhaps. And does that assassination attempt leave him blind in his right eye and without the use of his right hand? Could be. So that he sits as God in what, everybody? The temple of God. And according to the Bible, where is the only place that Jews can build their temple? On the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah in Israel, specifically Jerusalem. Showing himself that he is God. And right in your margin there, idol shepherd of Zechariah 11, verse 17. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. When? Verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Did you know that the devil even now is trying like crazy to get his agenda foisted on planet Earth? Who is holding him back? God is. Through what? Through the church. Through the church empowered by the Holy Spirit. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and only he, recircle that. How many of you in your Bible, the he is capitalized? Why capitalized? Here's why. Only he who now restrains what? The Antichrist, will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Who is the he? It's not the church. It's a personal pronoun. Here's one of the hints. In old languages, Espanol, German, Latin, and certainly Greek, many of the words had a feminine or a masculine tag that went with them. And here, the word he, what would you suppose would be? Would it be masculine or would it be feminine? You would think masculine. However, it is in what's called the neuter sense. Who is the he? Circle that. That's the Holy Spirit. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, the church was born. Remember our slide? When does the church go out in the form of the rapture? And when he does, the Spirit leaves. Jesus said, this Holy Spirit will never leave you nor forsake you. If he's taking the Holy Spirit out, Who does he have to take with him? The church. And when the church is gone, then the lawless one will be revealed. For any of us to speculate who the Antichrist is before the rapture is purely speculation. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Right, Revelation 19. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who, everybody? Satan. With all what? Power, signs, and lying wonders. If you were listening to our message this morning, a little part of you is skeptical. Yeah, I don't know if I see it, you know. I don't know if I'll buy that. I'm going to wait. If there is a rapture, if millions of people disappear, then I'll believe. Look what happens. The Antichrist is going to show up with the working, the power of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should what? Believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let me put that, kind of unpack that for you. It has never been easier to receive the claims of God. We've got the Bible, we've got the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of our lives, right? It has never been easier to hear and feel his presence, and you have felt it, and perhaps you're feeling it even this morning. If you deny that and say, I'll wait till these things transpire, you have to know what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit, in its universal sense, as we know him now, is going to be removed. He's going to return back to an Old Testament methodology where the Holy Spirit is singularly poured out on one person at a time or a few people at a time. And the Bible says that God is going to allow the enemy, the devil, to move in supernatural, miraculous ways. It will be very hard not to buy it. Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name that you would move among us today. There is Zechariah. It was right about the Greeks. It was right about Alexander the Great. It was right about the donkey and the 30 pieces of silver. It was right about the Romans and the siege of Jerusalem. Why would the Bible then not be right about this coming one, this coming world leader, who even now is preparing his arrival? And Lord, the Bible says very clearly, be careful. If you are not filled with his Holy Spirit, if you are not bought with the blood of the Lamb, you will have a tremendous temptation to buy the lie, and then you will take the mark of Revelation 13. And the Bible says if you take the mark, it's over. And for the rest of us, Lord, who may have been tempted to say, ho-hum, I've learned all about this. I want us to take it to heart that these things are coming. And we can see the fast approaching events and the fulfillment of the book of Joel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. There is already on the planet a restored nation called Israel. Almost completed are the Jews with all of the preparations of the temple. They have almost all of the 90 plus articles in place. There is one thing the Jews are lacking and waiting for. When they get the okay to build their temple. And it won't be days, people. It'll be hours that they'll have a functioning temple on the Mount. We are living so close to that time. Please, Lord, may we be people who consider the people down the street. God, there are people that we work with and live with that truly don't know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ while all these signs are cascading around us. Here am I, Lord. Please use me.
You've been listening to the Book of Zechariah with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.